read about the Apostle Paul saying that he looked to the things that were ahead and that he pressed toward the goal that was before him. And we have just been singing about pressing on to higher ground. I believe the real answer to why Paul did what he did and why we need to do what's suggested here is found in the first three words of the last two verses of that song. I want to. I want to. September the 7th, 1995, Cal Ripken Jr. broke a record that was thought to be one that would never be broken. Lou Gehrig had played in 2,130 baseball games without missing one. Cal Ripken Jr. played in his 2,131st game and broke the record. Since then, he has continued to add to that record, and I would guess yesterday's game was 2,330, give or take one or two. 2,330 baseball games without a miss. You suppose Cal Ripken was ever upset at the coach or the umpire or the other players or the fans? I would guess he was, but he never stayed away from the game. We know that there were times when he played with injuries. In fact, there would be articles in the paper the day before wondering whether or not he would play because he was injured, and yet he was in the lineup. You think there was ever a time that he had a headache or maybe a cold or that there was something else going on at the time that he might have liked to have attended? 2,330 games without a miss. Someone asked why, and in the Reader's Digest of two or three months ago, his brother, Billy, also a major league player, said he played in all of these games because he could. And Cal Ripken Jr.'s father, Cal Ripken Sr., who was his coach much of that time, added immediately, really, he played because he should. He played because he wanted to. And he's continuing to play every day that the Baltimore Orioles play because he wants to be there. There was a lady in Augusta, Georgia, who did not miss a Bible study class or worship service for 44 years. That's 2,288 Sundays. Do you suppose she ever had company come in unexpectedly? Or maybe had the preacher coming to eat with her on one of those Sundays for lunch and thought about staying home and fixing a meal for him? You suppose she was never sick, never felt badly, never had any problems? You suppose there was never a time when there might have been something else that called for her attention and she had an invitation to go somewhere else? 44 years, 2,288 Sundays. She never missed a Bible class. She never missed a morning worship. Why? She had the right desire. She wanted to. There was a businessman a few years ago who lived in New Orleans, and he was an elder in the church there. The information that I have is that he owned a chain of restaurants and at one time was president or CEO of 33 different businesses and civic organizations. Yet, he never missed one service of the church. I would guess there were times when there were some crisis situations which arose in some of those businesses. You think about a man, the head of 33 businesses, but he was also an elder in the Lord's church. He never missed a service. Why was he there all the time? I believe it was because he wanted to be. Someone was telling me about an obstetrician who lived in Nashville, Tennessee. He was also an elder in the church, and he missed three services in 36 years of practice. Now, I would suspect with that type work as a doctor, being an obstetrician, that there were some situations that developed on the spur of the moment that might have wanted his attention. There may have been some emergencies. And yet he was able, in 36 years, only to miss 3 services of the church. Why? Because he had his desire in the right place. Back in the 1950s, which some of us can remember, and the time before many of you in the audience were even born, there was a show on television called The Miss Patty Page Show. There were 2 specific adults that never saw that show, her parents. This was before the time of VCRs. Wish they'd had them then. But Patty Page's dad and mother were Christians, New Testament Christians. Her show just happened to come on at the time that they had their evening services on Wednesday. I don't know. I might have tried to find a way to go somewhere else at an earlier time and see that, but they never saw the show because they wanted to be in the services of the church every Wednesday night. Why? They wanted to be. They had the right kind of desire. I use those different stories this morning to illustrate the point that I want us to get today in a way that we will not forget it. I am convinced that one of the key factors, and maybe the key factor, in why we do what we do is the want to, the desire. The Bible points this out in many passages. Listen, for example, to Psalm 27, verse 4. The psalmist said, "One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after." Now notice, he first says, "I've got the desire, and then I'm going to seek after it, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple." You may remember that it was that same psalmist who said he was glad when he had an opportunity to go to the house of the Lord, Psalm 122, verse 1. But he said, "Here is my desire, and I'm going to seek after it. I want to dwell in the house of the Lord." His desire was to serve God and to worship God. I would guess that most of us are in this service this morning because we want to be. There is a possibility that other factors are involved. But basically, we are here this morning because this is where we want to be. At least, I hope that's the case. In the life of each one of us. At this very time, I'm also sure that there are people who could be here and should be here who are not. Why are they not here? I think it comes back to desire. They don't want to be badly enough. Sometimes we can do the things that we want to through the week, even on Saturday night, even late on Saturday night. And yet not do what we need to on the Lord's Day, on Sunday morning, to be in Bible class and to be in worship. What's the difference? I think it all comes down to the idea of desire. In 1 Peter 2 and verse 2, Peter said, "As newborn babes in Christ, desire the sincere milk of the word." There may be a lot of factors involved in why some know a lot about the Bible and some do not, but again, I suggest to you that one of the major factors is desire. Do you want to know what's in God's Word? Do you desire the sincere milk of the Word to grow, to know what God says? Or do you live day in and day out without any desire for knowledge of the Bible, or maybe little desire for the knowledge of it? You spend little or no time in it and know very little bit about it. It's the desire that is involved. Again, as we turn to the Bible, in Romans 10, verse 1, Paul said, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer for Israel is that they might be saved." Probably one of the most important factors involved in our reaching out to the world to bring people to Christ is our desire. If we want to find people who are not Christians, teach them, bring them to Christ, we will find them. If we have no desire and no care and no concern, we probably will not. A person who is the successful missionary, successful in bringing people to Jesus Christ is the one who has the desire, a desire that he will not give up, but will continue to let people know that he's concerned about their souls. It comes back to desire. Over in the book of Proverbs, in Proverbs 11:23, the desire of the righteous is only to do good. But Proverbs 21:10 says, the soul of the wicked desires evil. Now contrast those two. The desire of the righteous is to do good, but the soul of the wicked desires to do evil. Is he not suggesting there that our moral beliefs and practices are affected by our own desires? What we want? Ephesians 2:3 talks about the person who has a feeling of lust toward fleshly things. And in that passage, he uses the word desire. He said they desire the flesh, the things of the flesh. Most people today will either basically have the desire for good or the desire for evil. There are those who go about to heap to themselves teachers and to satisfy themselves and to have the things that they want of this flesh and of this world. Their desire is on that level. And yet there are so many good people today who desire righteousness, who desire what is right in the sight of God, what is good, what is best, what is helpful. And the practices that we have in our lives will be affected in the main by the things that we desire. There is an interesting statement given in 1 Timothy 3 concerning the elders in the church. A little bit before, the list starts with which we usually begin to give the characteristics of and qualifications for elders is the statement, if any man desire the office of a bishop, let him, and he goes on and explains. Now certainly the desire there is not to be used in the sense of a political situation or wanting power or anything like that. But it's used in a setting of suggesting that if a man is going to be a successful elder as a part of the eldership in a local congregation, that he's got to have the desire to serve and the desire to lead and the desire to help people. I would not want to have anybody serving as an elder in the church or as a deacon or preaching the gospel if he did not have a high degree of desire to do his best to serve God. Not desirous of a position, not desirous of fame, but desirous of an opportunity to serve God. It is that desire that is so important. I just don't think, folks, we can overemphasize the importance of desire. I can tell you, if you'll answer me one question, in 99% of the cases, how many of us will be at an evening service? Just answer me the question, do you really want to be? I can tell you, in 99% of the cases, whether or not we'll be at a Wednesday night service. Just answer me one question, do you really want to be? I can tell you how many of us basically will give in the right way today of our money. The question I would want you to answer is, do you really want to support the work of the church as the Bible says? And we could go on and on and on. We could talk about visiting. We could talk about service. We could talk about helping people in the community. You just name anything that you want to, and let me ask you one question, and I think I can tell you basically what you will do. Do you really, really, really want to? We cannot overemphasize the value of desire. Desire will overcome a low IQ. We have different IQs. We have different talents. We have different levels of talents. But have you not seen in the classroom, young folks, a person who maybe doesn't have as high an IQ as somebody else make a better grade because he wants to so badly that he will apply himself? And haven't you seen the one who maybe has almost a genius IQ fail the course because he doesn't want to do anything? I overheard a conversation recently about a certain person. And it was said, the IQ was mentioned, And then the comment was made, that's almost the IQ of a genius. But that person was not successful in life. While I was a sophomore or junior, one in high school, we were given an IQ test. And there were two students in my graduating class who tied as having the highest IQ in the class. One of those students wound up as an honor student. The other one almost failed and didn't graduate. And since that time has committed suicide. What was the difference? I believe the difference was in the desire. One wanted to, the other one could care less. And basically did care less in most of the classes. I was in the class with that student many times. And during the last year, the senior year, knew that he had the highest IQ in the class. And yet he was just barely making it, and some of the tests didn't make it. Desire ignores age. We have, I believe, 8 members of this congregation that are above 90. In fact, today is the birthday of our oldest member. Sister Alice Etheridge is 97 today. I visited with her Friday, and as we were talking and I was asking her how she's doing, she said, well, I get out every once in a while and drive my car just to see if I can. I'm going to try to figure out which day she's out and stay home. Sister Allie Hires, who usually sits over here where her son is sitting now, is 90. Almost every Sunday at the early service and other services, she brings some people with her in her car. And we jokingly, well, I think it was jokingly said back in the winter, if any of you young adults can't make it, call us and we'll send Miss Allie by to get you. Over on this side this morning is Sister Cedric Condor, 94 years old. Sometimes it's not easy for her to get into the car and get into the building and be here, but she's here every time she can because she wants to be. And when it gets to the point that she can't be, she'll still want to be. There's where the answer, folks, is to our attendance and our giving and our work and our service. Desire will ignore age. Desire will rise above the circumstances in which one is reared. Last week when I was in the Cookeville area, I picked up the newspaper and noticed a little ad that a man by the name of Junior Ransom was conducting a gospel meeting at a little place called Bloomington Springs. That wouldn't have meant anything to the rest of you here, but I know the background. Junior Ransom is about my age, maybe a year or two older. He grew up in about 5 miles of where I did, and his dad was one of the biggest bootleggers that lived in that county. And if you don't know what that is, I'll explain to you later. Not only that, there were other problems. Junior Ransom had almost nothing positive to cause him to be a Christian. He made up his mind when he was younger that he was going to change his life from the circumstances in which he was reared. And that man has desire. He's not the best speaker I ever heard. He's not the most intelligent person I ever knew. But he's done a very successful work in the church for years and years because he decided long ago, I'm going to do something about my circumstances. And he did. Instead of sitting around and blaming ourselves, our situations on somebody else and feeling sorry for our circumstances, folks, if we would have the right kind of desire, we can rise above the circumstances. I think desire even creates opportunities. Maybe it doesn't create them as much as it helps us to see them. Sometimes we walk by when there's an opportunity to do something and we just don't see it. But if we have the right kind of desire to help people and to serve people and to serve God, we're going to notice those opportunities. And maybe sometimes it will help to create them. There just isn't anything in our lives that's more important than desire. My heart's desire. It's down to what we want to do. What do you want out of life? What do you want to do? That's the bottom line of it. Desire will overcome a low IQ. It will overcome any problems with age. It will overcome circumstances. It will create opportunities. And desire is going to control our responses to those opportunities. I would guess that there are those of you in the audience this morning who need to be baptized into Christ for the remission of sins. What's going to control the decision that you make? Basically, whether or not you want to. I would guess that there could be those who need to be restored. What's going to control that? Whether or not you want to. What is your desire? Is your heart right with God? Think about it. And let your desire cause you to do what you need to. If you need to come to Christ, as together we stand and sing.